You've been wanting to test those new torpedoes.
What yield?
Start low. We just want to get them off our backs.
Rip down the right field line. It is in the stands for a home run, Jazz Chisholm. A low screaming line drive off of his bat. Third home run today. 5-1 lead Yankees here in the third. Hey now.
Oh, hey now. All right, it's opponent. Yeah, that's right. You want to test those new torpedoes? We found a spot for you, and now the Atlanta Braves are calling, apparently. I was watching a little bit of Sunday Night Baseball, and they were talking about how the Braves have put in their order for the bats. That a couple of Braves actually used them in the Arizona Fall League, and watching the Yankees have success, other teams are going to jump on, so get ready. Let's see if other teams hit 9 home runs in a game. Let's see if everybody hits 15. Maybe it'll just be, you know, a laughing stock, and they'll, you know, it'll be the highest scoring season in the history of baseball, and they'll have to do something. As I read a story about how there's momentum gaining for the end of the tush push, believe it or not, they're actually going to consider banning the tush push. Maybe they'll ban the torpedoes bat, but not today. Not today, as the New York Yankees sweep away the Milwaukee Brewers, a playoff team from last year. Listen, not the best offense either. And the pitching, listen, and that's part of it too. The pitching and the defense weren't good. Do things get masked by hitting as many home runs as they hit? Absolutely. There was some issues. Defensively, I think when Max, I was surprised of all the, you know, people were upset about the lineup, especially for Saturday. The only thing that I was concerned about or that I didn't like in the lineup and I was surprised by was Reyes playing third. Because you know Max Fried. I wasn't surprised that the DH of Dominguez, because I think they want a good left fielder in there with Max Fried, because the ball gets pulled. He puts the ball on the ground typically. You need a good defensive third baseman. And I haven't seen that from Reyes. He can play all over the place. I would have thought against the lefty, if you want to hit a right-hander, you put Peraza and have him play third because you know how good he is. Plus, he hit a home run, obviously, later in the game. So I was surprised by that. But ultimately, yeah, they were sloppy defensively, no doubt. Some of the ills are still there. And again, it's from, like, Max Fried's won gold gloves, and he's just brand new at the Yankees. Like, do you think he was a gold glove winner until Aaron Boone got his hands on him? Like, people are nuts. But he made a mistake. Volpe, a gold glove winner, had a bad throw. Reyes couldn't play third base. They still have an issue with the slow ground ball towards first. And again, they work on this. Both Max Fried and Goldschmidt are veteran players. It's not like it's Yankees coming up through the farm system who haven't been schooled on how to handle this. Those are two veterans who have played in big games, who have been in the playoffs. Max Fried's a World Series champion. Like, it's just odd. But, yeah, the defense wasn't very good. They made 5 errors, and it looked like they gave the game right back to Milwaukee. But then the bats reemerged and continued to just pound the baseball. Just absolutely pound the baseball. What a fun weekend it was to watch this team. Really, truly fun. And I think as you look at it, like, you could look at the starting pitching, but the bullpen outside of Devin Williams and his first appearance as a Yankee, and now he hasn't had to have one in a while, and they'll be off later today. Hate off days already. 2 off days in the first 5 games of the season. Sucks. The Mets will be back against the Marlins, but you look at this bullpen, you've even gotten some answers there, because 2 guys in particular who, you know, pitched well for the Yankees last year into the postseason, but, you know, I'm not sure what you were going to get from Tim Hill. And again, a couple of appearances. But Tim Hill is a lefty that was released and designated for assignment by the Chicago White Sox. Now, you know, we talk about the Mets pitching lab, but what Matt Blake has been able to do with a handful of these relievers year after year. I mean, Tim Hill was a guy they signed. They waited until like the end of the offseason, right before spring training, before they brought him in. And, you know, who knows what to expect? Sure, he had a magical run and was very good for them last year. But, you know, Tim Hill, what do you... And he's been lights out. And then the other guy is Mark Leiter. Mark Leiter has honestly been the best pitcher so far in the, like, of any of the guys who've thrown. And as good as Carlos Rodon was, and I talked about Rodon after their opening day, Mark Leiter was unbelievably good in 2 appearances, 2 1-2-3 innings. The breaking ball's working. The splitter's working. He's getting swing and misses. He's looked great. So the bullpen has looked really good. Besides, like, Carlos Carrasco giving up some runs and Devin Williams' a shaky opening day, the bullpen's been great. You know how good Weaver is. Hamilton is apparently going to be ready as soon as he's available off the IL. So, yes, right now the rotation is in flux. You're waiting for Clark Schmidt to come back. They're talking about mid-April for him. You're not going to have to see Carrasco for a while. Will Warren will start Tuesday night against the Arizona Diamondbacks, who last year led, I believe, all of baseball in runs scored. So it's an offense that can do damage. It's an offense that's deep. It's lost a couple of guys, but they have real talent at the top. Plus, he's going up against Burns. So this season could turn quickly. It's three games. I don't think anybody, even the most, you know, loving shill of us all, and God knows you'll be hard-pressed to find one bigger than me, like, even I would tell you that, hey, we have no idea what this team's going to look like yet. None. But what I can tell you is I have faith in how they handle the bullpen. I think Aaron Boone is getting much better at it, and despite, you know, anytime a reliever gives up runs, it being his fault, I think he's done a good job with it so far, although it's been very easy with blowout victories. I think the bullpen and the New York Yankees and their pitching lab, to go along with their bat construction lab and everything else, all the other labs they have, has done an incredible job with the bullpen. Leiter, if he can pitch like this, is another. I mean, Leiter came in the seventh of opening day, and I remember thinking, really, Leiter here? That's the pecking order. I know they're still waiting on Hamilton, but the idea that Leiter is that guy in the seventh after Tim Hill, I'm surprised. And he was dominant. He was dominant again yesterday. Like, he's looked really good. You know Devin Williams is going to be a top closer in this game. He just is. I mean, between the bullpen and the offense right now, this is why I still told you they were the best team in the American League, because of what they're capable of. Now, they have to do it consistently. And we'll see. But we look around baseball. The Boston Red Sox lost 3-4 to the Texas Rangers, which means the Texas Rangers won 3-4. And Jacob DeGrom, 5 shutout innings, looking great. But you look at the division, right? The Toronto Blue Jays and the Orioles split. The Blue Jays already lost Max Scherzer, who left the game with a strained lat, who said he had to leave the game because of imminent danger. I've never heard that before. He literally was quoted as saying, "I had to leave because I felt imminent danger of a significant injury." So God knows how long he's going to be. The Red Sox lost 3-4. The Rays were able to take 2-3 against the lousy Rockies. But I'm telling you, the New York Yankees are the best team in this division. Still believe it. They got a hell of a long season to do it. But you look at the athleticism. You look at the bullpen. You look at everything they're doing and what they're capable of. I think it's as high a ceiling as there is in the American League. And we'll find out if that comes to fruition. Obviously, we got the Stanton news as well, where he could be much closer than we heard. He's swinging against in the cages. So his bat, you know, he's swinging the bat. He's actually... Now, I was wondering, and I wanted to look up this. There was a story last week or 2 weeks ago that Stanton got hurt swinging a different bat. And it was given to him by a Yankee that's no longer here. I wonder if the torpedo bat, as the MIT guy, is no longer here. Now, people made the conclusion that it was Verdugo. I don't know why. That wasn't in the story. But apparently, there was some suspicion that Stanton got hurt swinging a different bat given to him by a former Yankee. And now the MIT guy is not with the Yankees, and this torpedo bat seems to be the new bat. I wonder if he's feeling like swinging that torpedo bat actually hurt his elbows, which would be hilarious, because the torpedo, it gives and it takes. It giveth and it taketh away, that damn torpedo bat. But the best part of this weekend was absolutely watching everybody go absolutely nuts about the New York Yankees and cry like little babies about what they were watching, as the Yankee offense that they were sure was going to be awful ended up having a monster weekend. In fact, let's hear some of those home runs, because I haven't had a chance to hear them. I told let's line them all up. Let's start playing some of them. I haven't had a chance. This was one hell of a weekend. And one of the greatest things I've heard was Susan Waldman taking a little shot at the Seattle Mariners when she said, "You don't know what to do with yourself, Dave. Your team hasn't scored this many runs in a week." But let's hear a couple of these. Let's hear a couple of these home runs from Saturday. Let's hear all three in the first inning. I know I'm putting Rami on the spot here, but let's hear all three of the opening home runs from Saturday afternoon when the Yankees hit the first three pitches of the day out for home runs.
Here's Paul Goldschmidt for the very first time in his career batting leadoff against the veteran Nestor Cortez back in New York. First pitch swung on, a high fly ball. Deep left center field. Carry. Goodbye. Home run for Goldie. His first with the Yankee into the bullpen, and the Yankees have a 1-0 lead.
First pitch, fastball, and he was ready for it. Ambush pitch, as they call it.
Here is Belly. High drive. Right center field. They're looking up. That baby's out of here. It's 2-0 Yankees. Cody Bellinger with his first homer as a New York Yankee, and the Yankees are touching up. Nestor Cortez, couple of pitches, and the Yankees are in front 2-0.
Well, another ambush pitch. He's trying to hit the zone with those fastballs, and they're ready for him. So this is the scouting report. Get him early.
You can tell the fans want Judge to get a piece of this action. First pitch. He swings. Deep drive. Left field. No doubt about it. Aaron Judge way upstairs. It's 3-0 Yankees. Aaron Judge with his first home run of the season. My goodness, it's home run derby in the Bronx.
Well, we got three pitches, and it's already 3-0. Three pitches and three home runs. Holy moly.
I want to hear that one again. That was a great call. That was really the excitement that he got from that, talking about how the crowd would want to see it. And then, I mean, just who expects it? Like, I know it's Judge, but they said it on the broadcast, and I was thinking the same thing. There is no way in hell Nestor Cortez is throwing a fastball anywhere near the plate for the first pitch. Like, there's no way in hell. He can't be that dumb. Right? What does he think? That Judge is thinking the same thing, and so he won't be looking for a fastball middle in? Like, there's no way Nestor Cortez is going to throw that fastball anywhere near the plate to Judge to start the at-bat. But that is so far. I've heard a bunch of calls from Dave Sims as the new voice of the New York Yankees. This one right here might be my favorite, early season favorite for call of Dave Sims' early career as the Yankee broadcaster.
You can tell the fans want Judge to get a piece of this action. First pitch. He swings. Deep drive. Left field. No doubt about it. Aaron Judge way upstairs. It's 3-0 Yankees. Aaron Judge with his first home run of the season. My goodness, it's home run derby in the Bronx.
Well, we got three pitches, and it's already 3-0. Three pitches and three home runs. Holy moly.
Holy moly, guacamole. All right, let's the Grand Slam, the Aaron Judge Grand Slam. Let's hear that one.
Two balls, one strike. Thomas to the plate. Pitch swung on. Fly ball left field. Deep. Hey now, goodbye. Grand Slam, Aaron Judge. This has been blown wide open. 12-3 Yankees.
And another one that there was no doubt about it. And for everybody who was wondering about Aaron Judge and his spring, is this okay now?
Yeah, that was a good call. I like the other one better. That was a good call. All right, so now we're not sure if it's in the cut, but I'm pretty sure I'm told this is the call where Susan makes the comment about Dave Sims being unfamiliar with this many runs scored, as obviously Seattle has struggled to score runs over the last handful of years. And, you know, it's certainly by lack of effort, because they don't want to bring anybody in. Oh, they gave Cal Raleigh $100 million. Great. Man, those I would be so pissed off if they have that pitch.
Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Rowdy Tellez. This team has some of the best pitching in baseball, and they refuse to bring a bat in. I mean, they traded for Randy Arozarena. That's it. And it's just unbelievable. But anyway, what do I care about the problems of the Seattle Mariners? I don't.
Well, it's the problems of Major League Baseball.
I suppose.
Because it's a team that should be really good, choosing to not be competitive.
Correct. No, same thing with the Rays, too.
Yeah.
The Rays have done that for years. All right, ready? Let's listen to this, see if Susan's cutting remark is in the cut. Let's see.
It's set. Oh, look at this by Jazz. Deep to right center field. That's out of here. Another hey now for the Yankees. They're killing Milwaukee. It's 13-3.
Ah, what a tease.
Bummer.
What a bummer.
I'll find it real quick.
See if you can find it. It's probably on social media somewhere. It is. But yeah, that was, I mean, this weekend was unbelievable. The amount I was doing, you know, because obviously I'm scoring the game. I'm a weird guy. I went to opening day. I don't bring the book with me opening day. I must be the only guy in the history of the world, in the history of baseball fans, who scores games from home but does not do it at the ballpark. I must be the only guy. I hate carrying the book with me. It's a pain. And I got to, like, I want to enjoy the game. I want to look around. I want to, I don't know, go get something to eat, go get a drink, whatever. Like, I don't want to have the book with me at all times and where? Put it on the seat. The seat folds. I can put it on the floor or walk with it everywhere. It's just a pain in the butt. So I sit from my couch and score games at home. And when I go to the game, I don't score. So, but I went to opening day, obviously. And it was a great day. But I have to admit, it might have been more fun on Saturday because it was the first game I got to watch with the boys. We went out early, and we were riding bikes and doing different things, and I didn't get back until after one. It was like maybe 1:40 I started the game. So we come home. They're kind of excited for the baseball season. We did our own little crappy fantasy baseball league, so they're ready for, you know, pay attention to some of the games. We've got Bellinger. We've got Bellinger. We've got Wells. And we have, oh, and Weaver. Those are the three Yankees we have. Anyway, so we're getting excited for the game, and they were just absolutely beside themselves. They could not believe. Like, it was one of my favorite moments as a dad with sports. Like, they, watching sports with them. The best still is when they went to the World Series. My son was going absolutely nuts. Juan Soto hit that home run. We were in the backyard with some friends. He was up late. It was, you know, the ALCS. We're watching it outside. We had the fire going. That was the best. But just yesterday was awesome. The Saturday was awesome because they were going, they could not believe how many home runs the Yankees were hitting. They were just beside themselves. The bewilderment on their face of how this is possible, that they could hit so many home runs. It was awesome. We were having a lot of fun. Then of course we got to, like, you know, they got to do the jump off the couch home run celebration. And, you know, jump all over each other and do the frog splash or whatever super finishing move that they have from wrestling. But that was really a great day. So, all right, so I'm told now we did find the audio of Susan having a little fun at Dave Sims' expense. Let's hear this.
Jason Dominguez, but both have been on.
It's, oh, look at this by Jazz. Deep to right center field. That's out of here. Another hey now for the Yankees. They're killing Milwaukee. It's 13-3.
You're not going to know what to do with this. Your old team didn't score 13 runs in
a month.
Don't
rub it in. Be nice.
This is welcome to the New York Yankees, Dave Sims.
It's true. It's true. This was a hell of an opening weekend. There is no doubt. This was a lot of fun. It just was. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I don't care so much about what's going on with the other team, but it is perfectly baseball. And I'm not much of a troll. And I know Evan complains about the trolls. And they did the show on Friday after opening day, and he talked about all the different the Yankee fans who were in his DMs, who were on his phone. I was not one of them. I did not text Evan after the Juan Soto thing. I'm not going to be that guy. I don't care. I'm rooting for the Mets against the Astros. I have a hard time understanding if you're a Yankee fan rooting for the Astros against the Mets. I don't understand that at all. I wanted the Mets to win every single game. Now, having said that, did I chuckle when Juan Soto swung outside, and did I go, all right, this isn't the worst thing in the world that he swung at that pitch and missed it? Yeah, okay, I'm only human. And in that moment, the whole drama between him, Juan Soto, and the Mets and the Yankee fans this entire offseason, I got a little bit of a kick out of it, okay? A little bit of a kick. I'll be honest, and I said that. But I still wouldn't text Evan. But I have to admit, I did text him today after the game because we did a Yankee-Met bet episode of the Rico Bronya. He had me on, and we do, like, different bets. Like, right now, one of our main bets is Juan Soto versus Aaron Judge, and we chose to do on-base percentage. And right now, They're both having a great start on base percentage, but Judge is something special. But like we do things like that. We did Yankee bets. I forget what the other ones were, but one he proposed to me was which offense would score more runs. I'll bet you the Mets offense scores more runs than the Yankee offense. And I didn't make the bet. I said no. I said, look, I'm confident in this Yankee offense. I'm looking forward to it, but and I think it could do different things, but this Met offense is loaded. Like I can't imagine. I know the tougher division they're playing in and all that, but I just can't imagine the Mets not scoring more runs than the Yankees. So after today, I did text Evan and said, hey, if you want to revisit that run scored bet, I'm open to it. That's about as much trolling as I've got in me, and that really wasn't even that good of a troll. But it was a good weekend for the Yankee fan. And listen, people get all upset. Like I put out a tweet about, you know, the Yankee fan has every right to have a little bit of fun at the Juan Soto strikeout. We've decided, whether it's me, whether it's you, whether it's Met fans who drew first blood, whether it's Yankee fans who drew first blood, we have this, it's the Met-Yankee fan rivalry has hit a fever pitch. It's as high as it's ever been. And Juan Soto in particular is at the forefront of it. So whatever he does, whether if it's great, the Met fan is going to have fun sticking it to the Yankee fan. If it's bad, the Yankee, like, we've ratcheted this thing up. And I could try and downplay it, or we could have some fun and lean into it. And to me, it just so happens that this weekend was a terrific weekend for the Yankee fan. Just a weekend, the next 159 or whatever it is, 158, could be all Mets. You have no idea. But the opening weekend, as the Yankees pound the baseball, they're the evil empire again, as everybody is bitching and crying and accusing them of cheating in the most ridiculous manner I've ever heard in my life. And the Mets turned into last year's Yankees, where all they have is Juan Soto and nobody else showed up offensively. They had Juan Soto, other than the strikeout, had a really good series. Got on base two or three times in every single game. Had the one hit in their series finale on Saturday, which was really just a fly ball to left. And short porch, short left fielder, got him a double. Altuve out there and left is hilarious. But and he got the walk in the ninth that, you know, almost led to a rally that didn't happen. But right now the Mets have a series where they lose two out of three. The offense is non-existent. We're going to have a conversation about Lindor, obviously, and his early season struggles, and we'll do that in a little bit at 888-808-1019. While the Yankees put on an offensive display, the likes of which we have never seen. So it was a good weekend for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, C-Mac. You know, I love you. I love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
C-Mac, this whole thing with the bats, does every team have these bats right now?
Yes, every I don't know if every team is using them, but every team has access to them, and there are at least, I know of at least three teams using it. I read a story, and Lori was telling me that they're reporting that five different teams have used them in a game this year.
Okay, the thing is, it seems like baseball is trying to get back to this whole thing with the mid-90s, with McGuire and everything else. I think they want more offense going on. It's an incredible bat from what I see. I seen Volpe. I watched what he said. And does it make any sense, though? I mean, do we want more?
Yeah, I don't think, first of all, I don't think it's Major League Baseball. It was an MIT guy who worked for the Yankees and now the Marlins who came up with the concept when he saw how many times Volpe hit the ball off the label. So they just moved the barrel down. But I don't know if off of three games that we can make the correlation that this bat is going to lead to more home runs than we've ever seen. Like the Yankees the Yankees went off, four of the 15 home runs were from Judge, who isn't using the bat. So like I just
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so, see, I didn't know that. Yeah. I apologize for that.
No, you don't have to apologize. I'm just saying I think it's an early jump to just say, now look, if the Yankees continue on this and every team picks up the bat and the home runs are up, then we'll have to have a discussion about it. I think it's a little premature for three games to just assume this bat is the difference when, again, not every Yankee was using it, and Judge hit 4 of the 15 not using it. Now, he's a special home run hitter.
Right.
But I would say the one home run that I do think you can at least make a very strong argument was that the bat had a lot to do with it was Volpe's home run on opening day, because I thought he got jammed and still, I guess, got the barrel of the bat to the ball and hit it out the opposite field. But I think it's still too early to just make the assumption that A, MLB did this on purpose, or B, that it's going to lead to a home run explosion.
Simak, I can't lie. I love your show. I do love the whole thing going on with the bat, but let's see. All right? I love your show, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate it, Joe. Yeah, no, look, I think does baseball want more offense? Of course they do. Everybody likes scoring runs. It's a fantasy world, right? Fantasy baseball is not as big as fantasy football, but it's pretty big. Gambling, bets, runs, hits, errors. Like, no, you know, I think offense is always fun, and the league would always be involved in trying to figure out ways to score more runs. This bat is not, you know, it's three games. It's three games. And they didn't score any runs against Peralta. They're all using the same bat. Didn't really score any runs against Peralta. I will give you the Volpe home run. That one jumped out at me, and I was talking about it after opening day, before even knowing that the torpedo bat existed, that I thought, wow, how the hell did he get that ball out? So I will give you that one. But again, the bat was designed for Anthony Volpe, apparently. That they did a study on how many times Anthony Volpe was hitting the ball off the label, and they thought it would benefit him to move the barrel of the bat down. That is what it is. Like, I don't find anything wrong with it. Good luck, you know, he's going to hit. Now, what happens to balls that get hit like slightly off the end of the bat that would catch barrel, you know, prior and now don't catch barrel and don't go anywhere? Like, it's just as likely it helps you as it hurts you, unless you're someone like Anthony Volpe, where you hit the ball off the barrel, you hit the ball off the label more than not. So it's bats designed for players. We've seen models of bats. As long as it's within the regulations and as long as the barrel isn't bigger than it has to be legally, what's the difference? We see golfers, you know, manipulate and shift their clubs based on their swings. Nobody cries foul. Nobody says that's unfair. You got to use the same club that, you know, Ben Hogan used. Like, it's just, it's different. We have all this technology, and they're using it. And they found that Anthony Volpe hits the ball off the label a lot. They moved his barrel slightly down. He's still hitting 147 on the season. I know he's got the two home runs. I don't think he's got a hit besides that. Like, I think we're jumping to conclusions, and that's what makes it great. As a Yankee fan, I'll tell the best thing about this weekend is everybody screaming cheater. I love it. I love the idea that, because again, as I said in my open, you can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. It came on at 1 o'clock. You can go back and listen to it. I know most of you are used to me starting at 2. I was on at 1. You go back and listen to it. The best part about it is all off season long, we were told that the Yankees are just another team, that they're not special, that the pinstripes mean nothing, that there's no aura, there's no nothing. 27 championships, other than one, happened a million gazillion years ago. No one gives a damn. Your best player left to go join the Mets. Nobody wants, you have to allow beards and long hair to pacify your players, or even have players want to come to the Yankees. It's all meaningless. Your farm system sucks, and your future is barren. That's what we've been hearing all offseason. And the second they put together an offensive display, after all the haters were positive it was going to be a miserable year for the Yankees, after all the haters were licking their chops and rubbing their hands, waiting for a disastrous Yankee season, three games in, that's all it took. Three games in, an offensive explosion, and we have to scream cheater, and the Yankees are a bunch of cheats, and of course they're going to allow it. It's the New York Yankees and such bums, and they need this to be successful, and blah, blah, blah. It's all a bunch of crybaby crap. That's what it is. They're all crybabies, and I happen to be a big Dave Portnoy guy. I think he's, you know, I think he's funny, and I think he's down the middle on a lot of things. Some things not so much, but I like Barstool, and I like Dave Portnoy. He was crybaby numero uno today on social media, absolutely crying about this with a Boston Red Sox hat on. Absolutely crying. That's how you know the Yankees are special. Because if that were another team, no one would give a damn. No one would care. But the Yankees did it, so everybody's got to scream foul. That's what's great. That's what makes, because it's completely legal. They went through MLB. I don't think there's any fear of these bats being outlawed. And everybody was bitching and complaining because they thought this Yankee lineup sucked. And it became, for the first 3 days of the season, it's all it took. 3 days of a successful Yankee lineup pounding the baseball, and every Yankee hater across the galaxy lost their crap. It was tremendous. It was glorious.
That's a good jam shot.
That's a good jam shot. Tony in Montreal, what's up, Tony?
How you doing, C-Mac?
You good, know, Tony, like, how are you?
I'm really good, you know, finished work, and I said I'm going to talk to C-Mac because I don't know if you recall, I said I heard all the naysayers and negativity, this pitcher's hurt, this guy won't hit till May, da-da-da-da.
Yep.
I said, you know what, we're still the Yanks and we still have Judge. I don't know if you remember I said that. And I said the Yankees have a tradition of winning and they're not going to just back down, they're not going to lay down. And, you know, I hate bandwagoners. I call them they have the same kind of loyalty as Mrs. Robinson, if you get the analogy.
I do get the analogy. Great
so
movie.
I call these fans in Montreal or in New York, the fair weather fans, I don't call them fair weather. I call them Mrs. Robinsons because, you know, there is loyalty as Mrs. Robinson. I just want to shout out to Dave Kyle, who won the regionals in Manchester where I was scouting on the weekend. Another one for the Denver Pioneers, who knocked out both the Friars of Providence and knocked out BC today. So the Frozen Four is in St. Louis, and hopefully I see some of you guys down there.
The Frozen Four, and Penn State made it for the first time in their history, I read real quick.
Yeah, and that's going to be amazing because that's some time good time hockey. And there's a goalie on the Pioneers who's undrafted, and I would say he would be a great fit for you guys down in New York. His name is Matt Davis, 6'1". He backstopped these guys to two championships back-to-back last year and probably this year coming. And I think he'd be a great goalie in New York since you guys are having hard times with your goalie. Matt Davis.
Matt, and thank you for the call, Tony. Matt Davis, bring him in. I mean, they're only paying Igor $11.5 million. I'm sure there's room for Matt Davis. I think they actually signed quick to another contract. And the Rangers are back in the playoff standings, but with Montreal having two games in hand, so who knows? We'll see. I'm not very confident about the Rangers right now.
They blew a 3-goal lead on Friday night, I think.
Yeah, I know.
In the third.
Yeah, they've just not been the same. Rough year. 888-808-1019. But yeah, look, of course, listen, it's three games. I don't think any Yankee fan is going to tell you they're uber confident that this offense is going to continue for any long stretch. I'm just saying it looked really good. There are elements to it like youth, speed, and athleticism that do not slump. It's clearly deeper lineup than it was last year. I didn't expect it to be as powerful, but it's been unbelievably powerful for the first three games. And I just think it was a fun weekend, and what's great about it is everybody bitching and complaining. Now, we still have to see about the pitching because I think Max Fried will be fine, but his first start with the Yankees wasn't very good, and the defense played terribly behind him, and that's been an issue for the Yankees. I think they're far better defensively this year, but that was a miserable inning and a miserable game for them. And then even, you know, today, I thought you got a good start from Carlos Rodon. I thought you got a below-average start for especially someone making the money of Max Fried, but it's the first game in a Yankee uniform. We forgive it and move on, especially when they score 20 runs while he's doing it. And then even Marcus Stroman today, who I did agree with Aaron Boone, said he had his good stuff. I was watching the game. I thought Stroman did have his good stuff. I thought he had his good two-seam fastball that left-handers were giving up on and then coming over the plate. I thought he had a decent slider that he got some swings and misses on. I thought he was actually making more competitive pitches than he made the entire second half of the season for the New York Yankees last year. The issue is he's afraid to come into the zone. He gets ahead because he doesn't think anybody will jump him, and he throws multiple pitches. He doesn't throw fastballs right down the middle at the beginning of the bat. He'll take a little off here, take a little off there. He knows he can get ahead a little bit, and then he nibbles, and he nibbles, and he nibbles, and he nibbles, and he goes nowhere near the plate, and it leads to 3-2 counts. It leads to walks. It leads to problems. So, I mean, that's typical Stroman. I actually did think his stuff looked pretty good, but he's just, he threw the, it was the, what was he, 15 for 15 on first pitch strikes to batters to start the game? I mean, he was throwing first pitch strikes. It felt like he could throw more strikes. He was afraid to. So, and we know his stuff doesn't play to the middle of the zone. So, but I actually thought for stuff-wise, it was pretty good. But ultimately, couldn't get a win with a big lead. Same thing for Max Fried. Made a bunch of errors. There was issues with this Yankee team, but they pounded the baseball. The offense looked tremendous. They looked young. They looked athletic. They had speed. We saw a long fly ball to center field, and both runners advanced, and it led to two runs on a wild pitch and a ground ball. Right? We saw first to third constantly. I mean, they just look fast. They look young. They look good. And right now, Goldschmidt looks like he's off to a great start. Bellinger off to a great start. Jazz off to an incredible start. Judge, best player in baseball. For 3 days, it was great, and everybody wants to scream cheater. That's my favorite part. 888-808-1009. Jay Jake, we're going to come right back with more of your calls as we take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Met fans, we'll get to you. Coming up, we talked a little bit about why I actually think it's a positive weekend for the Mets despite the losses, and what's up with Lindor and the early start of his seasons here, is he's been almost as bad as Rafael Devers has been in Boston. But for the Met fan, I mean, it's par for the course. Struggles in spring, struggles to start the year. And right now with a Miami series that, I'll tell you right now, it's one thing, and you got Sandy Alcantara staring at you in this series. It's one thing to lose to the Astros. They have got to turn it around, because you do not want to start the year losing the first two series, one of them being to Miami, who's won three walk-off wins in their first series against Pittsburgh. 888-808-1019. So little Mets coming up, but still your Yankee calls on the Torpedo Bats. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back. All right, 2:45. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Talking a lot about the Torpedo Bats here on The Fan. Let's go to Jay in Woodmere. What's up, Jay? You're on The Fan.
Yeah, hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Love the show. I just want to say that there's no way these bats get banned. The way the bat works is, instead of correcting your swing to hit the ball more often, you correct the bat so that the bat goes where your swing is.
Yes.
And also, of course, it's going to wind up leading to more home runs and more hits, because every hit now is going to be a barrel of the bat, and you're never going to get jammed because... Pitch.
Well, I mean, it's not every
significantly more.
I don't know.
But players who used to get jammed a lot, Volpe is going to hit a lot more with the barrel of the bat. Other players.
Right. Listen, any specifications made to any one player's swing is going to be more. Like, what if there's guys who end up hitting the ball off the bat, the end of the bat more, and they move the barrel up towards the end of the bat? Like, I guess, anyone who, I mean, I don't necessarily think that every player benefits from it necessarily. But,
well, yeah, Judge said he doesn't want to use it.
Yeah, Judge doesn't use it. Like, we'll see. But, I mean, will it lead to more home runs? I don't. If you're really jammed, I know he got jammed a little bit on that home run, but I still want to see it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying, before I make a determination that all of a sudden, and again, Volpe is hitting 140 right now. It's not like he had a monster. It's not like he had a monster 3 days and was just crushing it everywhere. He had two home runs, which is in three games is a lot for Volpe over what he's done power wise in his career. But it's not like he's been killing it. And I don't know. I think we have to find out exactly how this thing plays out before we really make any determination on how much, because there are guys who don't even have handles and they claim that the bat is more well balanced and that should help them. Like, there's different specifications made to bats all the time. So I don't know if they've just found something that automatically turns every hitter into a home run hitter or anything like that. We'll see. They just happen to have an unbelievable weekend.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Jay. You could have kept going. I think it's premature to make, any sort of definitive answer on what the bats will and will not do. They had a great weekend. I get it, right? They hit 9 home runs. We saw it two other times in the history of baseball. Cincinnati Reds did it in 1999. Oddly enough, Aaron Boone hit the first home run of that game. for the Reds, and then what, 1987 with the Toronto Blue Jays. So, I mean, it's not like we've never seen 9 home runs before. It's a hell of a lot. It's a Yankee record, and they've been playing baseball for a long time with a lot of powerful home run hitters in the lineup. So it's odd. It's, again, it's a little bit random. They scored 30 points against the Brewers last year, and quite honestly, Nestor Cortez had absolutely nothing. Watch the game. Look at how many. Look at where the pitches are that they hit home runs. It's not like they're hitting balls off the handle and it's going to the. It's not going out of the ballpark. Like, they put really good swings on it. Look where they hit the ball. Like, they had really good swings against Aaron Civale and against Nestor Cortez with his Eminem haircut. I don't know why. Did he specify why he's dyed his hair? Just a new change, new team, new feeling. Just wanted to, you know, have a new look. Because he's bounced around before. I know it's not like he's been a career Yankee.
Maybe he was hoping people in New York wouldn't recognize him after the Freeman homer.
And then he leaves. Yeah, I know. And then he leaves the game without talking to the media after it, which is a bad look. But I guess he called it a misunderstanding. Really? Misunderstanding? You're the starting pitcher of a baseball team. You pitch today. You're typically going to get asked questions by the media. I don't know what you thought was going to happen there. But ultimately, just a unbelievable weekend. And a lot of positives, too. And the bullpen, too. A lot of different things going on with the New York Yankees that I really felt like it was just... And again, the Judge stuff is going to bother me. I have to admit, as a Yankee fan, I know he has hit in the postseason. I know that. The guy's an absolute beast. And I get pushback when I called him the best hitter in baseball immediately, a million things. Well, yeah, not in October, not in the playoffs, not in this, not in that. Okay. And let me just say this one more time for the definitive Aaron Judge postseason stuff, okay? Aaron Judge, it's not like he's never been a good postseason player. It's not like he's never done it. He was a good postseason player in 2017. He was a good postseason player in 18. He was a good postseason player in 19. Or at least not terrible. He's been terrible in two postseasons. He's been terrible in 22 and 24. And when I say terrible, I'm being kind. He was atrocious. He's got the highest strikeout percentage in the history of postseason hitters with more than 200 at-bats or whatever it is. So, like, when I say terrible, I'm being kind. He was god-awful. God-awful. And particularly the ALCS in 22 against the Astros did absolutely nothing. At least in this, he does hit the home run in Game 5 of the World Series and actually had an 800 OPS in the World Series because he had a double and a home run in Game 5. I'm not saying he was good in the World Series. I'm just saying at least he had that. In the ALCS this year against Cleveland, at least he did hit a game-tying two-run home run in the eighth off of the best closer in baseball at the time. Like, you know, that he had the best season by any closer by a mile, and he took him deep for a two-run home run to tie the game in the eighth. Like, they end up losing that game, but that's a big clutch home run. Now, I'm not trying to justify what he did these 2 years. I'm just saying he did have a couple of moments. And... like, he was good in prior seasons. So if you look at it, he's been the postseason in 17, 18, 19, 20. 21, he only played one game. 22 and 24. So he's been in the postseason 7 times. He's had 2 atrocious postseason runs. He's had, forget 21, he had 4 good to average postseasons and 2 disgusting, miserable ones. And they were so bad that they ruin every number he's got in the good postseasons. That's how bad they were. He was the worst hitter in the lineup bad. Like, that's how bad he was. Verdugo was better. Like, that's how bad he was. So I'm not trying to escape that. But we can talk about the playoffs till we're blue in the face. This guy is the best hitter in baseball. He is the best offensive player in baseball. Now, people will continue to call me up and say, in a big spot, who do you want up? Juan Soto or Aaron Judge? And I'll tell you, right now, today, Aaron Judge. in a random day at any point moving forward, Aaron Judge. Postseason, World Series, Aaron Judge, because he's the best hitter. That's who I want. Now, if we're in the World Series and Judge is hitting a .110 for the postseason, then yes, I would have to say in that moment, I'd rather have Juan Soto. Last year in the World Series, I'd rather have Juan Soto. Last year in the ALCS, rather have Juan Soto. But this year's ALCS that you just tell me right now, like the Yankees are in the ALCS against the Texas Rangers, bottom of the ninth, game seven, bases loaded, down a run, down two runs. Who do you want up in that spot? Right now, today, my answer is Aaron Judge because he's the best offensive player in the game. And if you look at it, his batting average, better than Juan Soto over the last 3 years. His on-base percentage, better than Juan Soto in the last 3 years. His OPS, far better than Juan Soto in the last 3 years. Look at everything. Hitting with two strikes, far better than Juan Soto. Like, he does everything better than Juan Soto. Except he didn't do it for 2 weeks last year. That's it. They played 162, and then they had the postseason. For those 2 or 3 weeks, Juan Soto was clearly the better hitter. And in that moment, if you would have asked me in the World Series last year against the Dodgers, answer was Juan Soto. During the series against Cleveland, who would I want up in a big spot? Soto or Judge or Stanton and Judge? Obviously, Soto or Stanton. But now, projecting forward, I don't put all that. I don't think Judge can hit in the postseason. I don't think Judge can hit good pitching. I don't think there's any reason why next year or this coming year, Judge won't be a postseason dynamo because he's that good, and eventually it'll come through. So right now, imaginary Game 7 against the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series, bottom of the ninth, Game 7, down two runs, runners at first and second, runners at second and third, bases loaded. Who do I want up? I want Aaron Judge. Rocco in Brooklyn. What's up, Rocco?
C-Mac.
What's up, buddy?
Rocco from Brooklyn.
What's C-Mac. Up, Rocco? Yes, sir.
Why are we even still mentioning homeboy's name? Like, what you doing, C-Mac? Don't do that. C-Mac, we know who the best right fielder and who we want batting up whenever. Postseason, regular season. Listen, we already understand what's established. My man in 2 days has put up numbers that it's right field numbers. Let's go. Don't mention that kid's name, bro. Like, you don't gotta entertain nobody, C-Mac. I'm here for you, baby.
I do have to entertain people. It's kind of my job.
Don't do that. No. The other day I heard somebody say, oh, Ohtani this. Listen, man. This Judge, whatever he's doing, whatever he's on, whether he got the special bat, whether he's on PP, now all of a sudden, I heard conversations about PPDs and all this, and who's the best hitter in base. Listen, man, this guy is different. He almost hit four.
No, I mean, he almost hit four. There's no doubt. No, I agree with you. I'm just saying that's what I get. Oh, who would you rather have, Juan Soto? Because we have the Juan Soto, Aaron. Listen, they're going to be they're going to be mentioned together for the rest of their careers. Or certainly the rest of Judge's. I don't know how much, you know, Soto's going to have a longer career. Maybe it won't always be the case. But they played together. He left. There's been a little bit of a weird, lost his phone number, couldn't get in touch with him. You know, at least we have guys here who want to be here. Like, there's been some comments. They both play the same position. They both play in New York City. They both were on the same team. Like, there's always going to be this dynamic between the two players. So I'm talking about. When I get pushback about Aaron Judge being the best hitter in baseball, I use Juan Soto because that's what so many people use against me. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We come back, we'll do a little Mets as well, and wonder what the hell's up with this Met offense that just didn't show up in Houston. 888-808-1019. And why, you know what? To me, it's okay. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. I got you all the way till 5 o'clock, another 2 hours right here on The Fan.